Good evening, everybody. The Rama writes both in Evin HaEzer as well as in Orach Chaim that we have a practice, which I think is the widespread practice all over the world, that a chasan and kala fast on the day of their wedding. And the question is, where exactly does this practice come from? What's it all about? So one of the main sources, one of the main places that we learn this practice is actually from this week's Parsha. The Yerushalmi writes in Masechet Bikurim, Chasan mochlel no'a kol avonosav. The Yerushalmi tells us that a chasan on the day of the wedding gets a mechilas avonos, gets some sort of forgiveness, some sort of atonement for the fact that he happens to be getting married. Dichsiv, how do we know that this is true? Where do we learn? Why is there this magical power? All of a sudden when somebody gets married, they're granted an atonement. Says the Yerushalmi, because it says in our Parsha, Vayelach Esav el Yishmael, Esav, we learn a halacha out from none other than Esav. Esav goes to get married, and he goes to the family of Yishmael, Vayikach as Machalas Bas Yishmael, and he takes as a wife the woman by the name of Machalas Bas Yishmael. Ask the Yerushalmi, V'chi Machalas Shema, we know, if you look carefully in the Psukim of Chumash, her name was not Machalas, her name really was Basmas. So how come all of a sudden over here when he goes to get married, the Torah calls this woman by the name of Machalas? Says the Yerushalmi, Machalas is really Elashanim Chululo al Kol Avonosav. The reason why Esav marries the woman and now all of a sudden her name changes to Machalas instead of Basmas is because it's to remind us of the fact that you can gain an atonement when getting married. So we learn, the Yerushalmi tells us, we learn a halacha from Esav himself, and he could be the greatest Rasha like Esav. However, when it comes time to get married, all of a sudden, somehow, you are absolved of your sins, and you are given, you are granted a kapara. Rashi writes in next week's Parsha, the Ramban writes it as well, Gimel mochlen lo avonoseim. Rashi writes that there are three people who are going to be given an atonement. One is, as we know, like we just said from the Yerushalmi, one is Hanose Isha, one is a man who gets married, or a woman who marries somebody else. So we assume that that is going to gain an atonement. Ha'ola l'gedula, says Rashi, somebody who gets a promotion into some sort of position of power, or a gershon is geyer, a ger, a convert who now converts to Judaism. We assume all three of these people are granted an atonement. What I found fascinating is there was a great tzaddik who lived in the late 1800s, passed away in 1920, so he was pretty recent, I guess. He was the Av Beis Din in Krakow, and he was known to be a tremendous Eloi, an unbelievable genius. His name was Rabbi Yosef Engel. So Rabbi Yosef Engel has in one of his svarim a fascinating comment, and he writes, the Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos Daf Peitas Amud Beis, the Gemara says that when it comes to, we have two different systems of punishment. We have something that's called Dinei Shamayim and something that's called Dinei Bnei Adam, that we run a court system, but we can only punish based on a certain set of rules. Only if we have Edim, only if we have testimony, only if we can really prove that something happened, then we can administer punishment. Otherwise, we don't have a right to do so. That is reserved for Dinei Shamayim. Says the Gemara, a person will not be punished for something that's b'dinei shamayim, for something that's between him and God, and only can punish him. Under 20 years old, we assume you're going to be absolved of any mistakes that you made before the age of 20 between you and God. When we talk about dinei adam, let's say you have, unfortunately, a 14, 15-year-old kid goes and commits some sort of crime, so we assume once you're bar mitzvah, once you're bas mitzvah, you're already considered punishable in a court of law as dinei adam. When it comes to between you and God, between dinei shamayim, the Gemara assumes only once you're 20 years old, we assume that the count begins. So, what's interesting is that Rabbi Yosef Engel points out there are those achronim who assume that we see over here that you get a mechilas avonos by a wedding. Rabbi Yosef Engel says there are those who wanted to assume that you have the 20-year count starts again. Once you get married, it's as if now your whole count starts over. It's as if you've been born again, you've had a renewal, you've now had a rejuvenation, a new chance at life. And the same way that God absolves you of all your sins, now your 20-year count starts again, because now you're in some way maturing, now you're living up to a new kind of reality, and because of that, Rabbi Yosef Engel quotes over there in Masechet Shabbos that perhaps these 20 years of being absolved of Dinei Shamayim kinds of punishments might begin again. What's very fascinating is the Stechemed, who was also a great tzaddik, who lived also in the late 1800s, early 1900s, so he points out in his encyclopedic work, the Stechemed, he writes that if Rashi really counts all three of these in the same sentence, you're going to be absolved of your sins if, number one, you get married, number two, you have some sort of promotion, number three, if you are a gershon is geyer. So why is it that we only find the practice to fast by a chasan? That's the widespread practice all over the world, but in fact, if all three of these are really together, why don't we find that somebody who's elevated to a position of some sort of leadership, why shouldn't you have to fast? I just asked my father this question when I was hired here. I asked him, now to me this is considered a promotion, some might say it's a demotion, okay? But however your perspective is, if you consider a some position that you've been given now to be a promotion for you, so why don't we find that you also have to fast the same way a chasam would fast as well? So that's the question I just found today. This Teichemet actually asked that question, and he suggests a very interesting answer. He suggests as follows. We find that Yerushalmi tells us that all three of these categories, a chasen, a promotion, and a ger, all have a mechilas avonus. However, he points out, the Gemara says in Yevamah something very different. When it comes to a chasen, the Gemara uses a very different kind of terminology. It doesn't mean that he's absolved of all of his sins. The Stechemet, the way he understands it is, all of your sins are in some way stored away. And now God is going to see, how do you act, your new reality? How do you act? Do you shape up at all now that you're married, now that you changed your life, now that your wife is there to help you, guide you, and become a different kind of person? Let's see how you're going to act. So therefore, he says, when it comes to a chasen, life is very different. You don't just get absolved of everything that happened before. Now God is going to store away all of your mistakes, and he's going to see, how are you going to act now that you're supposed to be maturing and acting a little bit differently? So he says, therefore, perhaps when it comes to a chasen, that's why the chasen has to fast. Yes, it's because he gets absolved of his sins, but we want to remind him, you better fast because you have to take life a little more seriously. It doesn't happen automatically. It's only if you begin to take life more seriously and you take life into your own hands and now you're going to be living a very different life, then God will absolve you of your sins. That's why you have to fast. When it comes to the other two, to the Gershon Hizgayer, to the person who becomes a convert, as well as the person who's Olah L'Gdula, this Teichemet suggests that you automatically get a Mechilas Avonos right away. So this is reason number one that the Magen Avraham writes from the Acharonim, why it is that a chasen fasts when getting married, because we assume that there's some sort of absolving of his sins. There are other Acharonim who suggest otherwise. Perhaps the reason why one has to fast before getting married is because we want to make sure that nobody should be able to cast aspersions later on and say that perhaps the Kiddushin was not a good Kiddushin. So what happens if, let's say, you have a chasen shows up to the wedding and he's stone drunk and he's wild and he doesn't know what he's doing and he's like a shota. He doesn't have his mind the way he normally would be thinking, would be operating. So now he goes and he gives a ring to the woman. Should we assume that that Kiddushin is going to work? No. Why? Because a person has to be in their full wits. A person really has to understand what they're doing when they ask a woman to marry them, or when the woman accepts the marriage from the man. They both have to be within their rightful mind in order to have an accepted Kiddushin. So therefore, some Achronim say, in order that we should never have such an issue, nobody should come along later on. You know, we have a great way to solve the Aguna crisis. You know what we're going to do? We're going to say, I remember at the wedding, the husband, the chasen, was stone drunk at the time. He didn't have his mind. He didn't know what he was doing. And therefore, the Kiddushin was never chag because he never really wanted to marry her. So that's a great idea. Say the Achronim, we don't want anyone to come along later on and start saying such stories, to start making up such rumors. Therefore, we make sure that you fast on the day of the wedding. We shouldn't have any mistakes. No one should be able to have any sorts of questions later on whether or not the Kiddushin was chal. And based on this, some Achronim say as follows. Let's say there's a concept that Gemara says in Kiddushin, a person doesn't only have to do the Kiddushin on their own. I could be Mishaleach HaShliach. I can send somebody else on my behalf to be Mekadish, my wife, as well. I don't have to do it on my own. So what is the halacha? What would you say? Does that person have to fast when they are going to do the Kiddushin on my behalf? Well, if you say it's really about the reason why we fast is because I get some sort of atonement, it's like a Yom Kippur for me, well, that only goes on the chasen himself, on the kala herself. It doesn't apply to a shliach who's involved in the intermediary stages of the Kiddushin. However, if you're talking about the reason why is because we want to make sure at the time of the Kiddushin there was a real das, we want to make sure you really understood what you were doing, so then some achronim say perhaps this should be extended to a shaliach who is mekadesh on my behalf as well. Another interesting thing that we find is the Kedushas Levi writes in his Sefer, in Paishas Chayisara, we're told that Eliezer, Ebed Avram, is sent as a shaliach on behalf of Avram Avinu to go be mekadesh a woman for his son Yitzchak. So we know that end of the story is he finds Rivka, everything's happily ever after, but as he's in the house of Laban, so Laban says to him, here, take some food, Vayasam Laban Lefanav, Laban comes along and he puts something to eat in front of him, Vayomer, and he responds to him, no, Lo Ucha, I'm not allowed to eat, Ad Asherem Dibarti Dvarai, Vayomer Daber. So he says, no, I'm not allowed to eat until I negotiate the deal. Says the Kedushas Levi, why? Because he was on a mission to be Mekadesh Rivka, so therefore he wasn't allowed to eat. So the later Achronim say, what do you mean? He was on a mission to be Mekadesh Rivka, and therefore he's not allowed to eat? If you assume the whole reason you're not allowed to eat is because it's a Mechilas Avonus, it's like Yom Kippur, so then what does that have to do with Eliezer, who's only the Shaliach on behalf of Avram, on behalf of Yitzchak? He should not be He should not be in a tinus. He should not have to fast. But the answer is perhaps there's another reason. Perhaps the reason to fast is because we want to make sure that there's no aspersions that are going to be cast later on, that perhaps somebody was drunk, perhaps somebody didn't know what they were doing, perhaps they didn't have das at the time. Therefore, even Eliezer, when he sits down at the home of Lavan, and Lavan offers him a piece of food, Eliezer responds and he says, no, I cannot eat anything until I sit and negotiate the deal, until we go ahead with this kiddushin. The problem is, if you look carefully in the psukim in Parshas Chayisara, it says that Rivka goes ahead. What got Eliezer to go to the home of Lavan? What did Rivka do? She gives him water. So you see that he did eat. So that's a question that's discussed. How can he say such a pshat if we know that Eliezer actually went ahead? There is an interesting question as well, whether or not we assume that on a second marriage people should have to fast again on the day of their wedding. Or do you say, I did it once already, it's good enough? So this is an interesting question. The Elia Rabbah actually is quoted in the Prima Gadim, discusses this question. And he says, yes, there is an obligation to fast even on the second time. Even the second time around, one is granted a Mechilas Avonos again. Perhaps it's worth trying. But we assume that you will be granted a Mechilas Avonos. It's like a Yom Kippur again the second time around as well. And he brings a proof again from Esav. Why? Because the Psukim tell us carefully, if you look at Rashi, the Psukim say that Esav went ahead and married a second marriage. When he went ahead and he got married, Basmas, that now becomes Machlas, like we began this year. So Esav goes ahead and gets a Mechilas Avonos. So say the Rishon, and what you see is that obviously even the second time around, even not just the first marriage, even a second marriage as well, would also be considered a time and opportunity to have a Mechilas Avonos. Another very important nafkamina lahalacha, and with this we'll get into my reviews, does a person have to fast until Tseis HaKochavim or not? Let's say, for example, I'm going to get married on a Sunday afternoon, and I'm going to get married at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and the Tseis HaKochavim is only at 6. Do I have to fast until 6 o'clock or not? So that's an interesting question. If you assume the whole reason to fast is only to make sure that at the time of the chuppah, I have my mind, I know what I'm doing, so then once the chuppah is over, that's it. But if you assume that the reason to fast is because I'm granted a Mechilas Avonos, it's because it's like a Yom Kippur, so the assumption should be that I would probably have to fast the entire duration of the day until Tseis HaKochavim. A lot more to say, but it's time for Maariv. Rav Chananya ben Akashi Omer.